Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary and Chase Blaine. Here with you every Wednesday night. As always, we want you to be a part of the show, and you can do that by calling us at 855-915-9636. It's time for Did You Hear, that part of the show where Derek decided to turn on my microphone, which he threatened to not. But it's that part of the show where we quiz each other. See who's paying most attention this week with all those other stories going on, as always. I will start. Walgreens.
Is a poor man CVS?
I actually prefer Walgreens.
Do you? Girl, yes. They're not open 24 hours.
Is this the, this is from last week, isn't it? This is from late last week.
Late last week, yes.
Walgreens is not going to buy Rite Aid. That merger has been called off. But they are going to buy a number of Rite Aid locations, which, you know, in my eyes is actually worse than if you just let them go out and buy Rite Aid. Because what you're going to do is you're going to dilute Rite Aid's ability to make money so dramatically that Rite Aid's just going to go out of business in a couple of years.
Exactly what I was thinking. It's interesting coming at a time where you have CVS just partnering up with Target, and that partnership essentially we'll have CVS's in those, like the outpatient care thing where you can go in just with your insurance card and go get in Target. So it makes sense. You also have a lot of health cares, Humana, Aetna, governments trying to put the kibosh on all of that because essentially you can't have a monopoly.
Yeah. I don't like it. I really don't like it. I heard this story and I was like, how is any self-respecting...
It doesn't make sense why you would buy only part of the company and not buy part of the stores.
Well, I mean, you could always say, you know, we're going to buy part of the company regionally. You know, that we don't have a lot of exposure, say, in the Midwest, so we're going to buy the Midwest stores. That's not what's going on here. They're buying stores strategically to augment their position. Mm-hmm. And basically, I can't imagine Rite Aid's happy about this.
Yeah, it sounds like it's snaky. Is that a term? Like
it's not
they're being snakes. Yeah, exactly.
We can make that word.
We're unsure about if this is going to be viable.
So what we're going to do is we're going to slightly undermine you to see if it makes sense to completely undermine you.
No, they'll slightly undermine them. Rite Aid will go out of business, and then Walgreens will just come in and take over the locations, which is. This is not how it's supposed to work, kids. This is why we have regulations, to preserve competition in the marketplace. Because if the only companies that we have selling pharma in this country are CVS and Walgreens, would it shock anybody to find out that at some point they're going to decide what things should cost? That's how it goes.
And that is the danger of monopolies in and of itself. Because if a monopoly exists, there isn't a reason to buy one, get one free. This is on sale today. There's no reason for that, because if it's the only place you can get it, it doesn't matter.
Business has become very good at creating the illusion of competition in the United States of America. The perfect example of this to me is Lowe's and the Home Depot, which are the only two big box national home improvement stores. They carry all the same stuff. It's all the same prices. So what choice is there?
Which one's closer?
Yeah, that's the choice. Which one is closer, or do you like the made-up brand name that Home Depot has for its products better than the made-up brand name that Lowe's has for its products?
Do you prefer orange logos to blue and red ones?
Yeah. But they're completely interchangeable. We don't need both. But you can't have just one, because then you have a monopoly. There's no difference right now. There really isn't.
My turn?
Yes.
Martin Shkreli.
Is that awful human being that tried to raise the price
Is it Shkreli or is it Shkreli or is it
Shkreli?
I never know.
Shkreli. Scrotomy.
I think what? Scrotomy is probably the Shkreli? Proper
Martin Shkreli?
Pronunciation.
The judge in his case has told him to shut up.
Yeah.
I thought I always get the chance first.
What?
I knew that one.
Oh, all right. Take it.
No, that...
You just blew the wand.
You just said it. Just why am it. I gonna know?
Well, what's the rest of it?
No, I started talking... So originally he was the guy that what was it, 500% raised the price of...
5,000, actually.
5,000% of the...
Drug for AIDS.
Yes. Yeah. And he he was held in contempt by the court or is something
he's in court having nothing related to that.
Okay, so after telling me that you know what it is, you don't have the details. He was told a gag order was issued by the judge.
Gag order.
To tell him to stop talking to the media.
That's very close
or
to...
not even just talking to the media.
Is a completely different thing.
I know it's a completely different term, but...
No, conceptually, we're not even in the same ballpark.
But not even...
I was real close.
You're playing baseball on a football field.
But I was still using a court term story. So
you're the 78 LA Raiders playing in the baseball diamond.
Guys, you can't see this, but they're shooting each other with darts while they do this. the thing is that he wasn't just talking to the press. He was literally tweeting about it. The one that ended up making prosecutors finally...
Skrelly.
Then take Skrelly? The H out of your name, dum-dum.
But it's...
I can't talk.
European.
My last name is pronounced in real life nothing like it's written. Anyhow, what made the prosecutors finally go to the judge and be like, hey, man, like, come on, was when he tweeted saying the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of New York is, quote-unquote, junior varsity.
Didn't he say that somebody was stupid? He called somebody stupid.
Yeah, and this was, he tweeted this and said it in the courtroom during a press, or maybe not in the courtroom, sorry, in the post-court in front of the press.
Yeah.
But he's been tweeting about it. There were so many examples of the various things that he said, all of which it was like, come on, dude. You're literally on trial.
The argument that the prosecutors made in seeking the gag order is that scrotomy is deliberately trying to prejudice the jury to get a mistrial.
That's what I was going to say. He's shooting for a mistrial. He's like, let me come off as big as a dumb butthead as I can so that everyone's like, the general public knows he's a dumb butthead.
Why?
So we can't give him a fair trial.
From life. Like, is there just a
because
place
he has money
where we can put
that's
him?
Kind of the rule in
he
America.
He has money.
If you have money,
you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can grab him by the pussy.
Money is like is like one of those hotel key cards that gets you into every room.
Yeah, it's
master key. Ugh. Scrotomy's lawyer says that he's emotionally fragile.
Scared. I mean, can we just call him that forever?
That's what his lawyer had to say.
He's emotionally
fragile.
He's emotionally retarded, is what he
and
is.
And the pressure of the trial is getting to him. Is why these things happen.
Oh well, maybe don't commit wire and securities fraud. Maybe that's the idea behind not getting emotionally distraught.
I'm expecting Lisa to come up with this one, just so we know.
Ooh. I'm terrible at this game anyways. I lose every week.
Bobby Bonilla.
I just like Bobby Bonilla. The sound of that name.
Sounds like a character that would be in an Adam Sandler movie.
No.
I was just thinking that.
Bobby Bonilla.
Sports player.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this is a total Lisa one.
Yes.
That's all I know.
You missed this one?
Oh wait. Oh, does this have to do with, did he say that somebody couldn't be in the home run derby? Was that the story?
Might be something else, but that's not the story.
No, what about it?
July 1st is known by Mets fans and the country now as Bobby Bonilla Day, because that's the day that the Mets pay Bobby Bonilla nearly $1.2 million. He's going to get this every year through like 2033.
2035, actually.
The Mets... For the 2000 season, offered to pay him $5.9 million and then deferred the payments at an 8% interest rate. This was negotiated by Bonilla's agent, who is one of the smartest people in the world.
I was going to say, that dude deserves a raise.
Bobby Bonilla has not
a nice percentage
played baseball since 2000. Mm-hmm. But every year, he's going to get a $1.2 million check on July 1st. Part of the
shortstop?
Reason... Yeah. Part of the reason the Mets made this deal was because at the time they made the deal, they were invested with Bernie Madoff, and they saw this as a way of writing down mm-hmm. the profits from their investments with Bernie Madoff. Also known as, the reason the Mets made this deal is because they're the Mets. Mm-hmm. That's why Meet this the happened. Mets. They're the Mets.
All right.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
72. I feel like, Derek, you're going to know this one. 72.
I got to give Shay a chance. I don't want to step on anybody else's correct answer.
You think I have the correct answer? When she said 72, all I could think was 76 Strombones.
It's 70, it's 72 things, not the year.
It's funny, that's the first thing that hit my mind, too, actually.
And 110 cornets right behind. Sorry, I'll stop. 72 things?
72 things. 72 items.
Is it the list of... Is it related to Trump?
Nope.
I was going to say there was a list. No, well, there was a list of
it is very American.
All those executive orders. 72. All I can think is six. And
that is the number of hot dogs Joey Chestnut downed in 10 minutes yesterday. He's setting a record at the Nathan's
Super American
Hot Dog Eating Challenge. He gets $10,000 for
10 minutes.
He gets $10,000 for doing that. Not worth it. I'm
72.
Sorry.
I ate like half a hot dog. I
let my 20,000 calories. I believe I kind of.
That's going to be one heck of a poop.
Had a visceral reaction.
I actually watched it. Not watching it again.
Without, I would say without vomiting.
From what I understand, and I've seen a lot of these.
I was dry heaving.
That's. I would say that's two girls, one cup level gross.
Yeah.
It's just the hot dog he's eating.
No.
It's a bun. Now, there's a strategic way
you dip it in the water.
And it soaks.
Here's what Joey does. He grabs two of them at a time, pulls out the dogs, wolfs down the dogs, and he's soaking the buns while he's doing this. And I can barely describe this without gagging. And then he mushes.
You guys should see the hand motions that are saying
then
right
he mushes
now.
All of the wet bun into his mouth and eats that. And I'm like, I'm watching this, and I'm like... I can't.
Here's the thing. It's like the Italian in me that wants to dip in everything, and I have bread and any sort of liquid I will dip in. But I'm also completely disgusted by fully soaked.
Yeah, like water-soaked bun. The fact that it's water. It's water. It has
there's
no flavor. It's
just like a wet bun.
Yeah, think about when you like mistakenly spill water on your sandwich, and you're like, now my sandwich is ruined. Well, honestly, so I let myself have one hot dog every year, and it's always on July 4th. I ate, my restaurant serves, like, really big ones. I ate, like, half of one yesterday and was like, ugh, like, my stomach. And hearing that is making me be like, ugh.
Yeah, 72.
For all of my love of the soup bowl, wet bread makes me gag.
Mm-hmm.
Just the thought of wet bread makes me giggle.
Yeah.
But I will eat.
Here's a quote. Quote unquote, there's no secret. I love to eat and I love doing it. I love to win, so I had to figure out my body and push it to the limit again. Ugh.
He needs a real job.
No.
So he enjoys doing it.
He's making bank living. Off it. Whatever.
10 grand ain't bank. I'm sorry, but and he does a lot of these things all year.
I was going to say, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like 10 grand, if that's all you're making all year, is not very much money.
One day on the toilet is.
I'll poop all day for 10 grand.
Is he marketing a Joey Chestnut dry rub somewhere? Is that because a lot of these guys are doing that? There's probably Joey Chestnut products you can buy.
I have like fried rice. From Kowloon, and my fingers are swollen the next morning. Yeah. I can't imagine the sodium issues that man had next morning.
His poor doctor.
Yeah.
Auschwitz.
Somebody is in trouble for taking a selfie in it. He is a senator. Oh, where is he from? Or he's a congressman.
Congressman
somewhere in the country. But he decided to take a selfie
Louisiana.
Inside the gas chambers.
Not only a selfie, he took a 5-minute video.
Yeah. Not a good look.
Wherein he talks about Zyklon B cans and how they were used to kill the Jews. Yeah.
Yes. But so today
he's just here for extended learning.
Today he issued a public apology. Oh, God. the video is coming up. His name is Clay Higgins, by the way. But today he issued a public apology for making the tape after he was condemned by Jewish groups. And not shockingly, this comes after earlier today when the Anti-Defamation League and the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect criticized his five-minute video.
Yeah, pretty poor form.
Yeah. Like, pretty poor form. Even if you're not somebody in the public, which the people who run the actual, it's weird to call it a museum, but it is, it's a museum. The people who run the Museum of Auschwitz condemned him based on, like, this is not a place, like, this is a place to be silent.
Does anybody have respect anymore? Can you into a place, take in the moment, and feel the pain and the agony and history of it?
Can you do have that? It be like, selfie time? Like, even before any of this happened, I remember I've seen, you know, dumb 20-year-olds taking selfies of themselves at the gate of, even the gate, not even in a gas chamber, at the gate of Auschwitz. And I'm like, do you have any respect?
And I take pictures of everything. But
same with me. Exactly. I wouldn't do that.
But those people are walking through life in a social media blur. They're so obsessed with their devices whatever's happening around them is incidental. There is a world of difference between that and some dipstick politician walking into the gas chambers and recording a political commercial.
But that's precisely my point, is that, like, dumb 20-year-olds taking a selfie in front of the gate is offensive. This is downright, like, are
stupidity.
You kidding me, man?
It's completely stupidity.
Like, I couldn't, it was like you needed a crane to lift my jaw up off the floor when I read about this.
It's Louisiana. This guy's going to get reelected. They don't even know what a Jew is in his
district.
They probably
don't know what Auschwitz is.
I guarantee you. Well, they might have heard about it once.
Because their congressman posted a video from there.
Auschwitz, what's that?
Why aren't they pronouncing those letters properly?
CNN blackmail.
This has this is the hashtag CNN blackmail.
What did they do?
Made fun of Trump. Oh no.
No, that's not
news.
No,
I read the story. I don't know the full story. I just know pieces of it. There were a lot of
It has to do with the wrestling thing.
CNN anchors that were
right?
Yes.
I know that it has to do with the wrestling thing. I know that
yes. It was a, like, commercial or advertisement about Trump, and he has sort of a distorted face.
No.
I don't know.
No, this is the latest example of extreme journalistic malpractice taking place in the American media. Funny that a lot of this comes from CNN these days, because apparently there are no adults in the room down there. CNN has a reporter named Andrew Kaczynski who works for them. And Andrew Kaczynski, possibly of his own volition, possibly at the direction of somebody else, went and outed or threatened to out the individual who posted the original version of Donald Trump at WrestleMania with Vince McMahon's face
on Reddit,
replaced with the CNN logo.
Yes, that's true.
And it's not, first of all, it's a problem that they've done this, okay? Because CNN should have better things to do with their time than dox a private American citizen for posting something on social media.
But they didn't like it.
We don't want to live in that country, folks. We do not want to live in that country where our news media feels emboldened to do this sort of thing. But they make it worse because in the accompanying article, here's what happened. They call the guy on Monday and the guy doesn't get back to him. But on Tuesday, all of his Reddit posts disappear. And he finally calls CNN. He puts up this big, long apology that basically says, I'm a troll. I was putting this stuff up just to rile people up. No big deal. And, of course, CNN is like, he posted racist things and he posted anti-Semitic things. He's a troll. It's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These people think they're entertaining. They're like hecklers at a comedy club.
I was going to say, that's precisely what they are.
If they were actually funny, they would have a career being funny. But they're not. So they're online. I actually thought the wrestling video was pretty funny myself because it's about what CNN deserves. Anyway, so he issues an apology on Reddit, and because of this, CNN says, we're not going to reveal this guy's name because look what great people we are. We're not going to reveal his name unless he does it again.
Shameful.
So they basically threatened to dox a private American citizen, which would cost him his job, which would lead to death threats, which would lead, I got involved in the middle of a thing with Gawker.
For freedom of speech.
Last week. That was fun.
You got in something with Gawker?
One of our clients did. Mm-hmm. And I got to keep a lid on what I say about this, but something that I wrote wound up on a website owned by Gawker Media this past Friday. And I was very proud of that because it was well written and it was the right thing to do. But I know what happens when just a minor incident gets blown up on one of these sites.
I want to say it's like a slinky falling down the stairs.
CNN is unhappy that somebody posted a meme that they don't
because
like.
Because it was mean.
So,
I mean, of course.
They found the guy, threatened to reveal his identity, and then said, okay, he's remorseful. We're not going to do that. But if he does it again, we will.
But that is also almost a threat to every other person that is thinking about, or what is it, putting fear in this other people and saying, don't do that, don't cross CNN. I'm so sorry, Clinton News Network. You are not getting your way, and somebody is saying something bad about you, but this is what our country was based on. It was based on freedom of speech, that you can do that.
This is a threat.
If you're a large network,
but
you're going after one person. Come on, it's a joke.
And I'm not saying that what CNN is doing is right, because I don't believe that it is, but with that in mind, part of freedom of speech is they have the freedom to say, we're going to call this dude out. I'm not saying that what they're doing is correct. I'm simply saying the kind of irony of the entire situation.
From a journalistic ethics perspective, yes and no. The standard of whether or not you are going to out somebody, and we remember the whole Gawker Media story with Hachette a couple of years ago where they outed an executive for no perfectly good reason, and the story turned out to be false. The standard is this information newsworthy?
Well, and I do agree.
And the standard of newsworthy is this meaningful information to the average person? And in this case, no. Whoever created that meme doesn't matter unless it's Vladimir Putin.
I do agree. They're behaving like a petulant child in this case. If they were an individual human being, what they're doing would be like if it was a person being persecuted in this way or having a meme or video or what have you made about them, it would make more sense for them to react this way. But that's the messed up thing about the way that our media works now, our news media works now, is you said, is it newsworthy? Actually, yes, because they're making it newsworthy by talking about it in the first place. Because these days, people eat up anything that seems...
It doesn't matter. Good, bad, it's...
Yeah, that seems like, oh my God.
The fact that...
Look at what is happening here.
The fact that the president retweeted it is newsworthy. The origin of it is not newsworthy.
But that's what precisely, that's what I'm saying, is that at the baseline, it's not newsworthy. But with this rigmarole surrounding it,
crazy idea.
Theoretically,
and this is a message to CNN. If you spent all the time and energy that you are putting in to try to take down and take out or out one single man that lives in the United States, and maybe put more focus on actually covering the news to try to deflect your
Let's talk about Syria
biased opinion in 100% of all your newscasts, then yes, maybe you might still be relevant. Maybe people might be tuning in more and Fox News numbers wouldn't be up so high.
If we assume that the same level of resources were put into figuring out whether or not there was any collusion between the Trump administration and the Russians, I think we can safely say there is no collusion between the Trump administration and the Russians. CNN has proven its ability to find an anonymous middle-aged man on the internet and threaten him with exposure because he wrote something they don't like. We don't want to live in that country. We do not want to live in that country. This is not what our news media does. And this isn't local podunk newspaper doing this either. This is a major global news organization with near limitless resources that is doing this. This is alarming. This is appalling. And CNN should be held to account. I am one of the greatest defenders of press freedom and the First Amendment that you will ever meet. But the behavior of some of these organizations lately has me rethinking whether or not some of these organizations should be allowed to continue operating the way that they are. I don't know what kind of limits you have to put on them, whether you need to fine them, whether we need laws in place that say you're not going to do this mm-hmm. and you're not going to do this.
No, it's true.
But we can't have this. We can't have Americans going online afraid to post something because CNN might get upset and come after them.
Like I said, it is very middle school girl. The way they were doing this.
I'm going to get you.
If we weren't talking about...
Okay. If you're not talking about me that way, like, okay, like, I'm not going to, like, call you out now, but if you do it again, like, watch out. Do you know who my boyfriend is?
That's precisely what the behavior is.
That's what I'm saying.
And if it's a middle school girl, it's one thing, but when it's a multinational news empire, it's a very different story.
All right, last one for you guys. India. Big, huge story.
India.
Huge.
Rape?
Nope.
Murder?
Shocking.
Shocking. It's the first thing I think about when I hear India these days. Corruption?
No.
Are they stealing more of the Paris Accord money and using it to build highways?
Nope.
Yes, they are. That's just not what your story is about.
That's exactly.
Stuff about China?
No, China's a separate... there's something else. Oh, God.
So I only say sort of to corruption, but the main story is over the weekend, India rolled out a complete overhaul of its tax system. So this is a story that we had covered before, where India has had huge problems with taxes, where I think it's 97% of the country actually doesn't pay. So this is they put a tax on goods and services. So it's the biggest change for the country's economy ever, and people are not really happy. So for decades, India's tax system, we know, as we talked about, been a hot mess. Barely anybody pays an income tax, and a majority of the workers are in industries that traditionally don't pay taxes. So street vendors, bus drivers, and whatnot. Each of India's 29 states has a different tax system. So they completely did away with every single one of the states and did it across the board.
If you're a rat catcher, can you pay your taxes in rats?
Possibly. Rupees? Is that the currency?
No.
Rupees?
Just picturing some guy showing up at the assessor's office.
Rubles is Russia.
I'm just picturing some guy showing up at the assessor's office with a bag of rats and being like, you sell them. You know, here's your tax payment. You sell the rats.
Or like if someone's a hairdresser, can they pay in chopped hair?
No, it doesn't work that way.
I think it should. Okay, my last one. Wimbledon. I can never say that word.
There's multiple stories, but there was a towel fight. That they caught and were playing all over Wimbledon. Two of the people.
Something funnier than that happened today.
Serena Williams. Was it the story that involved her?
No.
Something very funny happened today.
It involves...
No, don't tell her. It's
I missed it.
I don't know if you're thinking of the same story as me.
Flying ants?
No.
Oh, you didn't see the flying ants?
I did not see the flying ants.
Wimbledon was invaded by flying ants today.
And oh, yours is better than mine.
One competitor nearly called for a stop to the match because the ants were flying into flying everywhere, and it was getting thick with the ants. One of the women said that she swallowed several ants during her match. It's the British woman who's they think has a good shot of winning. Steve Johnson made a point and said he was glad he did because an ant flew into his ear.
Plague of flying
while
ants.
He was hitting the ball. And he said that if he hadn't made that point, he wouldn't have run after the ball again because he had to get the ant out of his ear.
The athlete that you were thinking of, Petra Kvitova.
Yes.
I think the case.
Swallowed several ants.
Yes.
While competing today. So what was yours?
Mine was about Daniil Medvedev, who thought that he was, he's a Russian tennis player, which the reason I thought this was very funny is just because I always think of tennis as being a very respectful, like poised, civilized sport, you know? Like they wear very clean, crisp white outfits and all that. But he expresses anger of after losing at Wimbledon by throwing coins, more like chucking coins, at the foot of the chair, the umpire's chair.
Oh, nice.
Like they, so he won the first round, and then he lost in the second round, and then after the second match ended, both players shook hands with the chair umpire, and then Medvedev ran over, grabbed his wallet, pulled out some coins, and just started chucking them at the umpire's chair. And I was in a relay. You're on international television right now. You are a professional athlete in, like I said, what at least I view as one of the more polite sports.
Yeah. It's between the towel fights and the ants, it's been a rough couple of days at Wimbledon.
Yeah, this is a this Wimbledon's gone off the rails, guys.
Almost makes me not miss. It almost makes me forget McEnroe. Almost.
Almost being the operative verb. That's what I was going to say. Is like this is the most
he was
like
crazy
pissiness since McEnroe. Yeah.
All right, last one for me is going to be Chris Christie.
Chris Christie closed all the beaches in New Jersey, but then went to a beach.
Well, to be fair, he didn't personally close them. He just participated in that. Yes.
Before going to one.
Chris Christie gets a governor's mansion on the beach. So he spent the 4th of July weekend on the beach, even though all the beaches in New Jersey were closed.
Because they have no monies.
And when called out for doing this, his response was, anybody can have access to this house. All you have to do is get elected governor.
I hate him more and more. As I like, not that I ever backed him, but I had a little part of my heart that was like, he's okay.
He's a loser.
You gotta admit, though, that
more and more that I'm just like, you're a DB. Yeah.
I know, but you gotta admit, like, that's a pretty badass response.
No, that's a Marie Antoinette response, which in a different period in world history
would have gotten your head cut off after letting people eat cake.
Would have resulted in the loss of your head once the people rose up. But it's Jersey. The people aren't gonna rise up.
Well, that's what I mean.
They're just gonna go to New York.
But that's what I mean is that, yeah, he is a total D-bag for that. But it's Jersey. Like, it's so fitting to the situation and so fitting to him. It's, you know, even if you're the worst, you can't blame someone for owning the fact that they're the worst.
Really, what he should be saying in this situation is, I know I'm not getting reelected. I'm using the beach house while I can.
Like, encore.
855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Lisa Nichols, Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight, and then On the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, North Korea, putting on their own fireworks display yesterday. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the ramifications of that right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Been down, isn't it a pity? dead. Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match head. But now it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know the pity of the days can't be like the nights in the summer. In the city, summer, in the city.
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Welcome back to The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary and Chase Blaine here with you every Wednesday night, 855-915-9636. So, you know, all those fireworks, all those things that go boom in the air, those weren't the only things that you're maybe hearing.
Definitely not the only things going boom.
In more fun news of North Korea, do we have our...
It's always something really wonderful out of North Korea.
Jared, I'll have you... I just have to say this. I was listening to a report on the story that we were covering, and they cut to... the news reporter from North Korea.
Would you like the official announcement from North Korea?
Yes, please.
This is Ri Chun-hee, by the way, is the anchor. That's her name.
We found out her name.
Ri Chun-hee.
This is our friend.
I like her kimono.
The Los Angeles Times actually had a big piece on her.
I almost fell on the floor when this clip came on.
Here's the,
this is our friend.
Here's the announcement from North Korea of the most recent launch. So there you go. There's the announcement.
So what she actually said yesterday, North Korea successfully tested out an intercontinental ballistic missile. So that's as in the kind that can reach us.
We don't like those. That's bad.
No, that's not fantastic
news.
So
before we were talking about continental missile ballistic intercontinental a little bit further.
Yeah, this is a two-stage missile with a entry vehicle, which is basically it's a type of rocket where First stage takes it up, second stage takes it further, and then what you would put the warhead in is at the top of the missile, and then that detaches and lands somewhere and kills everybody.
Well, and they say that it's unlike any other type of missile that's been seen before.
Yeah,
theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time the North Korea has tested out a missile that can go this far. So last night, the U.S. military said, I believe the exact quote is, quote, "We can play a game, too." And they got together with South Korea because, essentially, they are our allies. And we have discussed this on the show in the position for South Korea. They have to play this kind of fine line and be our allies and be the good guys. But also, they understand that they are connected to North Korea.
Yeah.
And they are the first ones that are going to be in some sort of danger.
Yeah, like, they don't need... they don't need an intercontinental ballistic missile to get to South Korea.
North Korea
they need,
is
they can throw it.
country that is constantly paranoid and dealing with them on another level. Kim Jong-un is running this country, essentially straddling himself to all of these missiles and cage rattling. And this is what you have.
Well,
there's
this
so
is,
many times, though.
This is what North Korea's existence is predicated on.
Of course.
North Korea exists because they are in a constant state of war with the United States of America and have been going back to Kim Jong-il, who was Kim Jong-un's father, or Kim Il-jung, or whichever, one of the Kims. Kim's dad, constant state of war with the United States.
One of those
States.
Kims.
Current Kim, constant state of war with the United States, because the military is the real power in that country. And the only way that the Kims stay in charge of everything is by keeping the military happy. So the generals want this constant state of warfare, and this is what we get.
It literally keeps them in business.
The reality is that if... And this is where all of this gets a little bit squirrely. Because if North Korea simply wanted to nuke South Korea, they could do that mm-hmm. now. They've got the ability. You could put a nuclear bomb on a boat,
yeah.
float it down into a harbor in South Korea and kill a bunch of people mm-hmm. and
no,
make your point.
But North Korea is understanding their positioning too, because they've had so many conversations more so recently with the new president or what's the leader of South Korea? Prime Minister? That just got elected.
Yeah.
I know.
I believe Prime Minister.
It's not Park Soon-Yi anymore. I know that. Give me another week and I'll figure out who it is.
Yeah, it's him. But he is also understanding that there needs to be a seat at the table or in some sort of conversation, a seat at the red line that is drawn between the two countries. Because North Korea has even gone as far as saying, hey, for the next Olympics, why don't we do a dual country team? Like, it's insane. So we are standing in a position, once again,
he's like the Rodney King of the North Korea situation. Can't we all just get along?
Endless amounts of technology. But once again, we're backed up against a corner.
Well, the problem here is
doing nothing.
The problem here,
and this is what was constantly happening, though, during the entire Obama administration, where that red line was drawn so many times, constantly pushing and pushing and pushing it, but nothing's being done.
It's not that we're doing nothing. It's that everyone is kind of flaunting the rules, in particular China. And the Trump administration had some pretty harsh words for China today. One of the interesting details about this is that this ICBM was fired from a mobile launcher. The mobile launcher, according to the Pentagon, was a Chinese logging truck that had been converted to be a launcher, which means they got this truck from China. China is supposed to be enforcing economic sanctions against North Korea. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
There is very active trade taking place. All of North Korea's money comes, or a majority of it comes from China. The rest of it comes from North Koreans who are living in other countries in the world and making money and sending it back home,
mm-hmm.
even though they're not supposed to be.
No, because if you are going to have some sort of change and for China to take that position and being this almost, I don't even know what the middleman to it with the connection from the United States and in North Korea, they need to initiate sanctions that would hurt or destabilize North Korea. The only way that they do that is stop all crude oil from going to North Korea. North Korea solely uses that.
China doesn't want to do that because
they
share a land border with North Korea.
Yes.
And number one, they don't want the nuke coming over. Number two, they don't want North Korean soldiers
coming over. No, and they've been very vocal about what they want the entire world to do. When there was all these conversations that were going on between the United States, North Korea, I think Turkey or Iran was sort of involved. Russia was involved, and they said everybody just needs to shut up. Everybody needs to cool it down. There is not going to be any nuclear war on the horizon, but...
But with that in mind, something in reference to something you said before, Derek, which is that, like, if North Korea wanted to drop an A-bomb on South Korea, they could just, like, cruise the boat on down there.
Yeah, but they would also they would also be hurting themselves.
Exactly. They would also be affected by that. Whereas if they were to drop something on, say, Alaska, which is where this is projected to be able to reach... It's not going
North Korea is not doing this, and as much as people want to think that, all right, they're just shooting off missiles everywhere, you have to understand that the minute that happens, North Korea and most of South Korea is gone. The minute that happens.
Not necessarily the South. If they drop a nuclear...
Pyongyang is not even an area anymore.
If they set off a nuclear weapon anywhere in the world, what is currently known as Pyongyang will be replaced with about 4 inches of glass.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will nuke it out of existence.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what will be left. About four inches of glass.
But that's the worrisome thing about this is that's what I always think about, especially considering the thing that's really bothering me about this entire situation is looking at this. I don't know. I know we hate CNN, but they have a good map just showing the theoretical range of this missile that's being tested. And it's the islands and the western coast of Alaska. I can never pronounce this word.
I don't want them hitting the Aleutians. That's where the king crab comes from. That's a problem. Stay out of Dutch with your nukes, North Korea.
But it's very reminiscent of the last war that we got involved in and how, even though theoretically we were involved beforehand, but how we got actively militarily involved was something happening in Hawaii, which is also an outskirts area of our country. And the issue being that you're right. If North Korea dropped a bomb anywhere, we would nuke the crap out of them.
Yeah.
But it
and they know this.
And they know this. It wouldn't stop there. If there was a World War III, which is what this would lead to, that's the apocalypse right there.
I don't think it leads to World War III.
It doesn't, because everybody's going to stand up and start clapping. And unfortunately, and I'm not saying that the death of hundreds of thousands of people would be, but it's almost like this is what they had coming.
You're going to irradiate Alaska and Western Canada either way if you drop nuclear weapons on North Korea.
But that's what I'm saying, is that it's not just about North Korea. It's about you think about the impact that an atom bomb had in 1945 to such a widespread area of Japan. The developments that we've made in them since then are mind-boggling.
Yeah, now we can send a real small
one.
We can send a smaller one and it can do more damage.
That was a tiny bomb compared to what we're talking about here.
This is, you look at things, taking even just the effects that radiation can have. Thinking about when I was in middle school, some of my best friends every summer would have kids come from Chernobyl. They'd have them live with them for 3 months. And they said that, like, every 3 months that they weren't in the area of Chernobyl, which I believe most people know, there was a nuclear reactor, that there was a meltdown. And a lot of the people in that area of Russia have been affected by the radiation. But they said that it would add, like, a year to their life or something every 3 months that they weren't there. And it's, you have to think globally with these things. You can't just think, well, if they punch us, we're going to punch them. It's not that simple anymore. It's not as simple as get one person getting shot in the head. It's like you said, if they didn't do anything to Alaska, if a nuclear bomb fell on North Korea, Hawaii would be affected. Alaska would be affected.
Yeah. Depends on which way the wind blows,
Most of the eastern part of Asia would be affected.
No, because the wind blows toward us. They'd be okay. You might get some blowback into Japan.
Well, you have to think about the what's the word? Not jet stream, but coastal.
The jet stream tends to run out and over across the Pacific.
But so Russia would be affected as well. But nonetheless, I'm looking at a map right now.
No, you might get some blowover. If you hit Pyongyang, you might get some blowover into Japan. You might get some blowover into China. Most of that is going to head for the United States and Canada.
My point being that we're no all screwed.
It's no absolutely devastating. Yeah.
Yes.
No, but we had discussed maybe a couple months ago when John Kasich actually came out and was talking about how this resolution happens. And I still believe that he made a very, very good point, and the government needs to be destabilized. You have essentially just one man that is running this country and all of his people underneath him, and everybody else is completely cut off from the world and has no contact whatsoever with anybody else. So once that can happen...
Well, this is what our ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, had to say at a special meeting of the UN Security Council mm-hmm. today. Quote, "One of our capabilities lies with our considerable military forces. We will use them if we must, but we prefer not to have to go in that direction." That is about the clearest statement we've had from the United States government, that we are willing to pick up arms and go deal with this personally.
But we'd rather not.
Today. But we're at that point. We are absolutely at that point where what's going on over there has become intolerable. And sooner or later, you either got to put boots on the ground and take these guys out, or you got to start dropping some conventional bombs on Pyongyang and take these guys out. The thing that's stopping us from doing it is the risk that they're going to fire a nuke at South Korea.
Is precisely what I'm talking about.
But at a certain point, even that concern goes out the door, and we are getting closer and closer and closer to that point.
Mm-hmm. But it becomes one of my favorite idioms is the juice worth the squeeze? And it becomes a question of that, because and not saying that obviously with how bad things are getting over there, obviously something needs to be done. But
I feel like it's not even juice, it's not even squeezing, it's just again him straddling on top of a missile. And,
if we have confidence,
saying, in terms of our decisions, which like Dark just said, do we put troops on the ground? Do we just bomb the crap out of them? Do we do nothing? It's so difficult to...
Well, there's so many times where we have done nothing, and I'm not somebody that is pro-war and saying we need to go, but how many times do we sit on this show? How many times do we discuss another missile? Something new. This is something new that North Korea did. This is something even further that North Korea did.
But it's not even...
When do we get to the point of they went so far where we are hit?
But it's not even...
We got to wrap this up because we got the rest of the show to do. The thing that is most alarming about this is that nobody knew this missile existed until it was launched. Didn't show up on satellite. Nobody knew it was being built. That has scared the hell out of everybody, in particular Japan and South Korea and the United States. Those are three countries that are not going to allow themselves to be scared for long.
But that's my final point, is it's not a question of should we or shouldn't we. It's a matter of what's the best way that we should.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a best way to do this one, and I don't think we're going to be too happy with the world and what we're left with when this happens.
Huh. That is a Larry song to play after that sentiment.
Because there are good things in the world. It's what's hot, our favorite thing from this week. And, of course, I'm always going to bring you the most up-to-date, exciting things in the food world.
Make it move. Less chatty and more chatty.
I'm very excited about, if you've ever been to New York, and Momofuku Milk Bar, which has the famous ice cream that tastes like cereal. I'm obsessed with it. I actually got for Christmas a bunch of things to make at home. They are opening, teaming up with a pastry chef here in Boston. Possible location in Harvard Square or some sort of edition of it, but you will be able to get milk ice cream.
No parking.
Yeah. Once you have
baby.
This, you'll want it. So this is from David Chang's famous restaurants out in New York. So, so good.
So I may be the last one to this party, but I was trying to look for, you know, I just got back to Boston a few months ago. I've been trying to look for cool things to do and check out. And one thing I found is a store called Bodega. And it
love that store
from the I was gonna say
love that
yeah I
store.
Bet I looked at this, was like Lisa already knows about this, but from the storefront it looks like, which we don't really call them that here, more in New York City, but a bodega, which is kind of a crappy convenience store that's jam packed with stuff that's selling, you know, all these random things you want when you're high. But in the back of the store is a Snapple machine that isn't actually a Snapple machine at all. It is a door to a designer clothing store. Mm. They They hold, like, all sorts of, particularly with reference to, like, kind of skater fashion and street fashion.
Originally started as a sneaker store.
I was going to say it was originally sneakers. They've moved on to shirts, jackets, jeans. And it's, like, it's such a contrast to the front of the store where everything's all cramped and icky. And you go to the back and it's beautiful and so poised. And
yeah, for anybody that really into sneakers, and I have a friend that does, that spends
yeah, if you're
so
a sneakerhead, you want to go to the store.
These shoes, nobody else has them.
And sorry for the spoiler alert, Bodega, I don't mean to get rid of your cachet, but this is at 6 Clearway Street in Boston.
Nice.
So if you're a sneakerhead, go check out this Bodega and look for that Snapple machine.
Nice. You may have seen a trailer online showing some shots of air traffic control tracking an unknown object. And you may have seen that it leads to a website called wearestillnotalone.com. And you may be wondering what it has to do with Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It turns out that they are re-releasing the film in theaters for a week, starting on September 1st. Go see this on the big screen. It is one of his best movies. It is an amazing piece of work on the big screen.
Amazing movie.
I remember seeing it on the big screen the first time it came out. I remember seeing it on the big screen for the re-release. It is an awesome, awesome, awesome movie. In particular, if you own a small child or have access to one, take the small child to see this movie, because there's nothing really dirty or scary in it. There's a couple of scenes that are like kind of freaky, but nothing like super violent and blood and guts or anything like that. But this is the kind of movie that will make kids fall in love with cinema and the possibilities. All these years later, it still stands up. It's the 40th.
That's a sign of a good movie.
It's the 40th anniversary this year. It was the other science fiction film that came out in 1977 that didn't have space wizards and Wookiees.
That's what I was going to say. You mean the not Star Wars one?
It was the other science fiction movie that came out.
There was something else going on during that time.
So go check it out.
Is September 1st. Is it crazy that I was going to guess Logan's Run before he said Wookiees?
September 1st, it will be in a theater near you. Highly, highly recommended.
And it's time for That's the Thing That Happened, the craziest story from this week's news, of course, Florida. A pregnant Florida woman was arrested for domestic battery after pelting her brother with frosted cupcakes during a 1:45 a.m. argument Saturday morning in the family's Vero Beach residence. According to cops, Latoina Doherty was quarreling with her 30-year-old sibling when the verbal argument escalated, and she had allegedly, quote-unquote, picked up the cupcake and threw it at him. The cupcakes, an arrest affidavit notes, struck the brother in the chest and the arm. The brother said told investigators that he tried to retaliate. I can't even get through this because it's so crazy. By removing frosting off of his arm and wiping it in her hair. Yeah. In an interview with police, Doherty's mother described her daughter as initially primary aggressor as she threw the cupcakes, but the brother's reaction, cops concluded, exceeded a reasonable response for self-defense. I can't even get through this. Crazy. Yeah, so she was arrested. She was held on $10,000 bond and felony battery charge with a cupcake.
Please don't throw cupcakes.
My goodness. Well, here's something about someone using actual weapons. A 25-year-old East Hartford man was killed in a shooting in Hartford last night in a dispute over prescription glasses. Police said Victor Milan was shot at least 3 times in the neck, head, torso, and leg near the intersection of Park Street and Wadsworth Street. The incident appears to have started as a dispute over prescription glasses, with the assailant assuming that Milan had stolen his. Multiple guns were involved. Milan was pronounced dead on the scene. He had no criminal history in Hartford or anywhere else and was simply visiting his grandmother for the 4th of July.
Michigan. Police in Dearborn are seeking a bald man. Not just any bald man, but a bald man who entered, who shoplifted 7 boxes of Rogaine from a CVS. Police expect the man to strike again, noting that it takes 12 to 14 months of regular Rogaine use to see results. Police Chief Ronald Haddad said, quote, "While this is not the most hair-raising crime, we must protect our resellers, our retailers, as these crimes drive up the real costs for honest consumers," end quote. No word on whether the police will add hair to pictures of the man if he isn't caught within 12 months.